study this morning regarding the new year and new times of opportunities is based on the meaning of the word new from the standpoint of this time relationship. The word new, in reference to those who chose to have new gods that they chose in the days of Deborah, back in Judges chapter 5 and verse 8, that they chose new gods for their idolatrous practice and everything, was the idea of the time factor that's involved. They had not formally before that time chosen that idolatry, but they did choose that idolatry in that day and time. But our Lord Jesus used the word new in a completely different way. And the context I will show you that in Matthew chapter 26, beginning verse 26. In reference to his life and his teaching as he was here upon this earth, he demonstrated a newness of the Lord's Supper to the disciples. And in Matthew 26 and 26, they had finished the Passover meal that he had enjoyed with them. The historians tell us in this regard that there were as many as 5 or maybe 8 vessels that were filled with the grape juice at that time, the wine at that time, and that it would be something that would be there available for them to refill and be part of everybody's participation. When they had finished up that particular part of the meal, of the Passover meal, remember that the Passover meal was instigated because they wanted to remember, as God would have them remember, how the angel of death would pass over that particular place in Egypt, and how that they would find themselves having obeyed the Lord and having that way in which they would be free from the death that would occur to the firstborn of the household because they had their doorpost prepared for it. Jesus is instituting this particular Lord's Supper uniquely from that, and you can tell by the words that he says here in this regard. In verse number 26 of Matthew 26, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you." That's the word new. New not in reference to a time factor, but new in reference to the manner in which we partake of this. It's going to be new to you. It won't be like the Passover of old, the Passover days of time. It'll be a new Passover. As is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 5 and at verse 7, Jesus himself has become our Passover in this Christian dispensation. So we look unto Jesus who passes over our sins in life as we have forgiveness that is rewarded to us and given to us. And as a result, we find that Jesus is the Passover now. Now then, as we would do this, Jesus said, "I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." It was on this occasion that Simon Peter would be told of his future denial of the Lord, and that it would be the case that in this regard, Simon Peter would be one who would say in this matter, "Though all would deny you and though all be offended for you, I will not deny you. I will not deny your name." And of course, Jesus would refer to him to the fact that the rooster would crow in the night. And before he had crowed sufficiently, "You will have denied me 3 times. When we read these particular words, we're reading something that is important to our Lord Jesus. Luke's account in Luke chapter 22 and 15, he said in regard to this matter of the Lord's Supper, that before I suffer, I want you to beware of the meaning of this. And in verse 31, "All ye often," he said, "would take of this and be offended in this night because of me." And Jesus' teaching would be an offensive teaching to anyone who would not be willing to live the way that he taught us to live. He taught us to seek first the kingdom, Matthew 26:33. He taught us to be people who care for others and are forgiving of others from our heart in Matthew 28, twice in verse 13 and also in the last verse of that chapter, Matthew 18. Jesus said, from your heart you need to forgive others their trespasses against you, or your Father in heaven will not forgive you your trespasses. So thus it is that we're to practice the way of life that Jesus said, and there would be those who'd say, I don't want to live that way. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that kind of person. And as a result, they would not be forgiving of their fellow man or caring about that forgiveness, and they would live and die in that position, and the Father in heaven declared through Jesus that he would not be forgiving of their trespasses either if they did not from the heart forgive those who trespass against them. Thus it is the case that Jesus in his earthly life taught people how to live and how to behave in seeking first the kingdom and doing the work of God and being the person who does the work of God. There's often times in which we teach people these things that Jesus said and they become offended at the idea of even the Lord's Supper. But if we'll be people who are sincere about the fact that we want to serve the Lord in our lives, we'll be people who in this new meaning, do not take up the habit of saying, well, this is in reference to the Old Testament Passover meal, but this is in reference to Jesus becoming the Passover for our sins and sinful situations in this New Testament era of time. When we find ourselves going in the book of Hebrews, we see a people who were set upon keeping that old law. And in the book of Galatians as well, set upon keeping that old law. And how that they would practice that law, if they did so, they would be going back to an old system that was not sufficient to give them forgiveness completely of their sins. The Lord did not wish them to do that. He wanted them to credit Jesus himself, his son, in order to recognize the place that he would be in their lives, and as a result, see the hope that they would have in the hereafter. We're told in the historians of H. Leo Bowes in this regard, as he wrote the commentary in the Gospel Advocate series for the book of Matthew as well as the book of Luke, that they would be people who would be reading from the scripture at the time that they did the Lord's Supper. And he says that commonly the historians say that Psalms 112 to 119, we haven't arrived at that particular juncture of eight chapters of the book of Psalms on our Sunday morning Bible class study time. We're up to 78 now. We're closer than we were, but we'll be there eventually along the way to Psalms 112 to 119. Our Lord Jesus quoted from the Old Testament book of Zechariah in Zechariah chapter 13 when he said at verse 7, in regard to me, all men shall be offended because of me. And that will be the shepherd that will be hurt and harmed and taken out of the way. And the flock itself will scatter because of the lack of leadership of that shepherd. Speaking to his disciples, it was on this occasion that Simon Peter would be very offended by the idea that he would be one of those who would be denying the Lord and offended because of the Lord. Thus he spoke as he did. And Jesus then replied to him the surety of God the Father in heaven revealing to him the message that he knew what was going to take place in the future. And in the future, it would be the case that Simon Peter would deny him three times before he got through in that evening. He couldn't believe it. He just could not believe that that was the case. But as he went along the way, he found himself challenged by the little maiden who was outside the court when Jesus was under trial. It was a cool, cold evening, and a fire had been built together. As they were all sitting out and warming themselves by the fire, the little maiden comes out and says, you were with him. And Simon Peter denies the Lord. It is the occasion of the rooster crowing and the reminder to him as he did this not once, but then a second time, and then a third time, that rooster would crow and remind him that what Jesus had said was known ahead of time and would come to pass. When you and I look at God's word and his teaching, what will come to pass in our lives? As we go to the book of Revelation chapter 20 and beginning at verse 12 and read, and I read, the books were open, and another book was open, which was the Lamb's Book of Life, and the dead were judged out of the things written in the books. What is written in the books of God's word that you and I will have to face at that judgment scene? Would it be that we, as Simon Peter would say at that occasion back there, "No, Lord, that's a mistake. I'm not going to do that." To which, of course, the Father knew ahead of time all the things of this and told to Jesus, and thus he could say to Simon, "You would deny me three times." Will we be people who have denied the Lord in his way that he's taught us to live and behave, and the books being opened, and when the dead were judged out of the things written in the books according to their works? Will we be like those that are described a little earlier in the Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, in which it is said, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors. Yea, saith the Spirit." The Holy Spirit is there. He hears these things being said and noted, and he says, "Yea, saith the Spirit, their works do follow them." Indeed, our works do follow us as we go through life, and hopefully they will be the good works, the godly works, the works that involve with our worship of God, our service of the Lord, our love for his right way, to be practiced in life. And as a result of that, be people at the judgment scene who enter into a rest that the Spirit, as well as the whole of the Godhead, said, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Let us be people then who serve the cause of God in a righteous way. When we look at the word new in the new year, we're seeing a new time, new opportunity. As we look at that opportunity, would it be like the wise man of Proverbs 27 and verse 13, who sees danger ahead and guards himself? Some of the translations say, and hides himself. He covers himself up because there is danger ahead. Whereas those others who are foolish in life find themselves seeing danger ahead and pressing right on through it, and are thereby hurt and harmed, and maybe death comes about because of what they do. When we're people who are wise in the ways of God, we'll be people who see dangers ahead, dangers of temptations that we may face, danger that comes from a movie that is out of order and out of words and out of character, words that are found in the people, the friends that we have made, and the good times that we've had with them are marred by the words that are said and done. These kind of things in life become a part of our daily walk and our habits of life, and should not be. And as a result of that, we're people who find ourselves seeing that danger ahead. Do we then guard ourselves, hide ourselves, make less of our time there, make more accurate our time of worship, make more prayerful our thoughts about the relationships that we have with them? Whether it is by way of a media screen and a movie that's there and the things that are said and done, or by way of some friendship that we have made, that is of a person who is by our side and with us side, who comes out with those kind of outlandish words and mannerisms that we pick up and practice ourselves, or could do that if we're not wise to it and cautious to it. You remember the wise man described as the builder of the house. In Matthew chapter 7, our Lord Jesus said regarding this wise man who would build his house upon a rock, whereas the foolish man would build his house upon the sand. Now, the difference between the rock and the sand is described by Jesus in the description of what he's really saying. He's not saying to them that you can't have a border and put sand there and then put the house on that border in ways to keep that sand from moving about. But what he is saying is that that sand represents hearing his word and not doing what he says do. And the rock represented the idea of hearing his word and putting into practice what he says. Doing what he says to do. Being the person he said to be. If we're wise people, we will find a wonderful blessing at the end of that way of life. If we're foolish, as the young people will sing the song with us, and we sing with them now as they sing it, the foolish man's house would go splash. It would fall in. It would cave in. It would not be there strong and secure because it would not be built upon a solid rock. It would not be built upon God's word being practiced in our daily walk of life. As God's word is practiced in our worship and God's word is practiced in our going forth from day to day, we find an opportunity to be the kind of people in a new way. Not just in reference to a new year, but in reference to a new way of thinking, a new way of doing, a new way of talking, a new way of behaving. It's a new way. And as it comes to the time of the Lord's Supper, as the loaf is passed among us, we begin to think of the body of Jesus Christ, that in his body, nailed upon that cross, our sins were a part of the nails that held him to the cross. More so than the physical nails, it was our sins that held him there. And as we have the Lord's Supper, fruit of the vine would be passed among us. This fruit of the vine would represent his blood, completely and utterly shed for us, given for us, so that we might have the opportunity to thank him for his complete sacrifice in our behalf. As he would represent that by his blood, we find ourselves with tears in our eyes, a lump in our throat, maybe a pain that fills our stomach, because we find ourselves thinking so deeply about his giving himself completely for our sins. It is the case that as we do this, we find ourselves being the new person that he has asked us to be. And in reference to Jesus in Matthew 20, or Revelation 21, and at verse 5, it is noted, "Behold, I make all things new." New in reference to time, that has a place, it has a way, a new beginning of a new year, a new way, but a new manner, a new way of looking at things. A completely new way of doing those things is really what the Lord wants us to do. Let's enjoy this relationship with him. Thank you for listening and your study with me tonight. And I trust that as you read along in Matthew 26 and in Luke chapter 22 in reference to this, the Lord's Supper, that you too will be impressed with the fact that Jesus is there making a scene to them and a way in which they can understand God's way and God's will in their daily walk of life. So it is that in our daily walk of life, we accept that way. And as you begin that new way of life, our Lord Jesus gave the good commandments to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Notice that word "and" in that passage. He that believeth and is baptized. That word "and" is a coordinated conjunction. From about the third grade in our lives of education, we went to school. The teacher began to show us what a difference would be in a coordinating conjunction and other kinds of speech in our writing. And if we're doing a coordinated conjunction, we're joining things of equal rank or equal importance, equal value. And the idea is that one is not greater than the other, but one is in concert with the other to make it the result that we want to have. We want to have the remission of our sin. We want to have the forgiveness of our sins. We want to have a wonderful blessing of God eternally. And you can begin that tonight. And as we sing this song of encouragement, think of your relationship to the Lord. And if you're subject to Jesus' invitation tonight, to come as He has said, in repentance and baptism into Him, do that as we stand together and as we sing together.
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday you'll answer the question of life. What will your answer be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will our ministry and go with Christ, stay in the other life.